Stephanie Tillman, and Stephanie is going to be up talking about agricultural water supply from a dewatered mine.
Good morning. So today I'm going to be summarizing a project that I think really exemplifies the theme of this conference, which is, let me get this right, resiliency emerging from scarcity and abundance. So I work for a company called LandIQ, which is in Sacramento, California, and we've been working on this project since 2009, and it's basically a beneficial reuse project for agriculture. So even though I'm the only one presenting today, I just wanted to acknowledge that there's been several entities that have participated in this project, including Resolution Copper, which is an international mining company that has a copper mine in Superior, Arizona, New Magma Irrigation and Drainage District, which receives the supplemental water from the dewatered mine. We also consulted with agricultural experts and soil scientists at the University of Arizona for technical review, especially at the beginning of the project. And lastly, LandIQ was the technical consultant that still implements the project. So I'm going to spend most of the time today talking really about the background of this project and some of the resources and tools that we've used, because I think that's the most interesting part of the project, and just a little bit of time on what we can say about our results and data after 7 years of implementation and some of the lessons that we've learned. So the original problem was that Resolution Copper wanted to resume using a mine that had not been used for a few years. And during that time, a lot of water had accumulated in the underground shafts, and that needed to be dewatered for them to reuse it again. So not 30 miles away, New Magma Irrigation and Drainage District had this consistent problem of water shortage because their allotments from the Central Arizona Project just sometimes didn't meet their needs. So basically, in a nutshell, the plan for this project was to dewater the mine shaft in terms of what had already accumulated there over the years of non-use, and then to develop a plan to keep removing the maintenance flow that kept seeping into those groundwater shafts after initial dewatering, then to treat that water on site at the mine and convey it through a 27-mile gravity pipeline to the irrigation district, and then blend it with CAP water. And the reason that needed to happen is because the water from Resolution Copper was slightly more saline than the crops in the irrigation district had handled. And the last piece of the puzzle was to keep monitoring soils, water, and crops to make sure that this was beneficial use and that it was not harming crops. So here's an overview of the site. As I mentioned, the copper mine is near Superior, Arizona. The irrigation district is south of Queen Creek and Santan Valley, joined by this 27-mile pipeline. This is a very arid area. For those of you who aren't familiar with this area, precipitation is just a little over 7 inches a year, and potential evapotranspiration is 72, so there's a big gap there to fill in with irrigation. So the primary crops in the area of the district that uses the supplemental water include alfalfa, turf, cotton, and small grains. So alfalfa is the most salt sensitive of those crops, and so that threshold is the one that we have to pay attention to. Turf is irrigated with impact sprinklers, but the rest are irrigated with surface methods. So we have two main soils in this area, a sandy loam and a clay loam, and we monitor those because they respond to saline water differently. And what you see here on the screen, the yellow and red fields, they just represent two lateral systems in the irrigation district. So the red fields represent about 5,300 acres, and we call this the C system because they're served by the C lateral, and they are what's been supplied with the water throughout this time, the whole time of the project. The yellow fields are the B system. That system was only used when there was a lot of excess water at the beginning of the project, and they aren't used anymore. So in order for this to work, we needed four pieces of information. The first is the Central Arizona Project water quality, and that's monitored continuously. I'll talk a bit about monitoring in a minute. And the second piece of information is the CAP water quantity. Now, that comes from a collective water order that the growers give to the district, usually the previous day before they need it. The resolution water quality comes from monitoring that's done at the plant. And the fourth piece of information which needs to be calculated is the resolution copper water quantity. So that's how much water they need to send down that pipe to be able to blend at the district to ensure that the salinity of the water is what we want it to be for crops. So the threshold we use is the one for alfalfa, and it's 1,250 milligrams per liter. And we monitor that using a 30-day sort of compliance rolling average. So this chart shows all the monitoring we do for this project, but I really want to focus on the water monitoring. And on the top line there, there's one that says in-situ probe. We use an in-situ probe to monitor continuously in three different locations. So one is at the end of the pipe coming from resolution copper. Another one is in the CAP canal. And another one is in the irrigation district canal where those two water sources are blended. So at all times, we have real-time water quality data that comes from that probe. In addition, we do some other less frequent monitoring of the water to get a more complete suite of constituents. And we also do soil monitoring. We used to do plant tissue monitoring. After about 3 years, decided that it was unnecessary because we didn't see any adverse impacts. So the continuous water quality monitoring done by the in-situ probes produces data that is sent through a telemetry system. And it's sent to a database and a data summary application that is viewable on a website. And this is viewable and accessible anytime by Resolution Copper and LandIQ. This is a really important part of this project because it allows us to monitor the water quality at any time. And that daily or even more often monitoring of the water quality is really important to ensure that consistency of water quality. So it actually sends the data every 15 minutes and reports it every 15 minutes as well. We look at temperature, pH, and TDS. Temperature because it can affect the relationship between TDS and EC, and we want to know that. And because it has a data summary feature, we can track those trends over time. So another tool that is an important part of this project is a web map application that their growers can access. So what you see here is more like an administrator's view because you can see all of the fields. But if a grower logged into this system and put in his credentials, he would only be able to see his own fields. And then he could look up any constituent that's been monitored through soil sampling since the beginning of the project. And growers can summarize this by individual fields. They can summarize it by a group of fields. They can look at different constituents. They can look at crop history. So they can compare this data spatially and temporally. So that's an important aspect of this project because it assures them that the agronomic goals are being met and gives them confidence and trust. So speaking of confidence and trust, I think the most important part of this project is communication with growers. We have not altered our sort of protocol over this course of the project, even though it's been going for 7 years. We still conduct annual meetings with growers. We present and discuss the sampling, soil sampling results for their fields. We ask them questions about farm management, including any different kind of practices they're using, like irrigation changes or soil amendments, so that we know what's going on out there and we can interpret that data better. And then, of course, we can discuss any questions and concerns that they have. So the bottom line here is that Resolution Copper has delivered almost 4 billion gallons of supplemental water to this district, and we haven't seen any adverse impacts. I'll show you, this is a chart that shows you salinity of these different water sources, but I want to focus on the top orange line, which shows you the TDS of the Resolution Copper water. As you can see, it started out much higher at the beginning of the project when they were dewatering that collected water in the mine shafts, but now it's leveled out to around maybe 2,000 on average, even though there's fluctuations. And the second line I want you to look at is the thicker blue line, which shows you the 30-day rolling average TDS of the blended water. So we're trying to keep it below that red line, which is the alfalfa threshold for salt tolerance. But as you can see, sometimes there's some exceedances. But that is caused by usually timing errors. You know, the valve doesn't get shut off in time or whatever, but it's a very brief period. And because those periods have been brief, it hasn't impacted soil salinity or sodicity overall. So we keep track of soil salinity over time. This is a very general chart. We look at this, of course, in individual fields and in growers' fields because they manage differently. So the turf soil salinity is higher, of course, because they use sprinkler irrigation, and so there's just not as much water going on there, and the leaching fraction is much lower. And that peak you see around, I think it's the third quarter of 2013, that sampling event coincided with a fertilization, so that's why that happened. But alfalfa and cotton sort of have remained over much lower, and the reason we track these two alfalfa growers, alfalfa grower A and B, differently is because they manage their water differently. So alfalfa grower A is a conservative user of water, and alfalfa grower B is a less conservative user of water, and so we can see those differences. The same is true of sodicity. We see a little bit of a increasing trend, but not too significant in the turf. And overall, over time throughout this project, we haven't seen any increases in the other crops, which is what we want to see. So just some of the lessons we've learned from this project, which we view as being very successful, is that communication is critical, and not just among the project team, because there's a lot of moving parts in this project, and there's, you know, right now three different entities that have to communicate with one another, but also amongst all of the stakeholders and all of the growers that participate in this, because it's critical to maintain trust and confidence and just to keep those lines of communication open. The real-time water quality data is also really integral to us being able to manage the water so that it's consistent. And although some would probably say that our soil sampling regime is a little bit over the top at times, this has served us well because we have a lot of data to fall back on. We have a lot of information. And also, Resolution Copper has done a really good job in terms of consistency of water quality at the water treatment plant. And so that has also been advantageous in managing the water quality. So that's all I have for you today, if you have any questions.
We have a couple minutes for questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Again, depending how far out you want to go in time, but you know, it's probably about 6 at least for wind production.
Yeah.
Cycle. We have it growing in 10 years for species. So, but with newer varieties that are
right, and yeah, we realize that. We were being extremely conservative when we began this project, and so as you probably saw on there, the one alfalfa grower that uses water conservatively, his fields are always over that limit, and he just doesn't care, because they're not hugely over the limit, but they are, and he just knows that it doesn't matter. And at the time, yeah, we did some research into different varieties, and there's definitely more done on that now, but you're right, and we know it. So we're just going to keep doing what we do for now until we get directed to get some new information on how we can improve, how we can raise that.
And
it was
you're keeping your soil pretty low,
right?
But should they go out, I think you have a lot of potential to change variety, which is
Yeah, we built the Land IQ built that application. So in that, NextSense designed and managed the water quality site, that one. We built the web application for the growers, and that data gets inputted in there, and